Yo, what is going on, my fellow wrestling fans? Welcome to a brand new week, and welcome to a brand new edition of what we like to call the Clash of the Champions, where we talk about the different storylines, controversies, personalities, and everything in between that center around this world we know and love as professional wrestling. I am your host, the vegan you believe in, Conscious Kurt, aka the professor in the flesh as always, and my co-host needs no introduction, but fuck it, he's gonna give y'all one anyway.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jonathan Randall, the Adventure himself, at your guys' service. Welcome to our wrestling podcast, our soap opera that we love to call professional wrestling, and today is our prediction show because Crown Jewel, ladies and gentlemen, is this Saturday, November 2nd in Saudi Arabia. You can watch it on Peacock, 10 a.m. Is that the time, Kurt?
Yes, 10 a.m. your time, 1 p.m. my time, and I will be dead serious. I do not have a lot of interest in this show. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a one-off event. You know what I mean? It's for the Saudi money. If you're the audience in Saudi Arabia, hey, this is big for you. This is for you guys. It is. So enjoy. We're not going to take that away from you guys. But this is just a one-off show. It's whatever. I actually, you know, I'll still watch it, but I'm skipping ahead of this and jumping towards Survivor Series. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, this is basically their show where they're like, yo, let's just get this over with. Let's give the Saudi people what they want and let's move on. Yeah, because right. Especially after watching Raw last night, that was like one of the weakest go-home shows for a PLE I've ever seen in my life, where like, if they were attempting to make you excited and make you amped up to watch Crown Jewel, they did not do that shit even a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think the only thing that they've been really putting their energy on, not just for Crown Jewel, but just like maybe like towards Survivor Series, is the storyline within the Bloodline.
Yeah, they were going super heavy with that last Friday on SmackDown, and especially even last night on Raw, which actually we'll get into real fast. Last Friday on SmackDown, the Motor City Machine Guns won the right to challenge the Bloodline for the tag team titles. And after that match, they were interrupted by the Bloodline, and they said, let's have the match right here, right now. And they ended up having the match, and this move actually backfired in the Bloodline's face, as they were screwed out of their tag team titles by Jimmy Uso, Roman Reigns, and also Jey Uso, who they screwed out of the Intercontinental title the Monday before on Raw. And that would allow Motor City Machine Guns to pick up the win and win their first tag team titles in WWE. And what a
fucking what a debut for them.
Story for them. Yeah, definitely. The fact that they just debuted in the company and they've been together for 18 years and literally their second, third match in WWE, they're the tag team champions. More power to those dudes.
Hey, good for them, and also karma for the Bloodline. You screwed Jey Uso from the exactly. You screwed Jey Uso for that Intercontinental title on Raw the week prior, and you even called it. You even said that, you know, probably the following week or later on, that they're going to lose their tag team titles. And they did.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to happen so soon, but whatever, it still happened regardless. Yeah. So, yeah, so Motor City Machine Guns are the new tag team champions on SmackDown. And the show ended with Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso hugging it out.
Reunited. Hey, you kind of knew this was going to happen. You know, they were playing it off as have, you know, Jey Uso wasn't cool with them and all that, but you kind of knew this was going to happen. But hey, it was a good moment.
Yeah, so they hugged, and Roman looked on from the aisleway, stared at the whole thing as the show went off the air. And this past Monday on Raw, Jey Uso opened the show. And yo, with that pink and those glasses, he's reminding me more and more of Bret Hart. I'm not lying.
Huh.
Yeah, so Jey Uso comes out, and then Jimmy Uso comes out to interrupt. Jimmy goes on to say, like, yo, the new Bloodline, they ain't the ones. And then Jey responds saying, we ain't the ones either. And then he goes on to say, like, a lot's changed since they were fighting each other at WrestleMania a few months ago, and he talks about how he won the Intercontinental title on his own. But yeah, he said, none of those titles will ever match being your twin brother.
Ah, hey, man, that's real.
Yeah, definitely. And then he says that if we're going to do it this time, we have to be grown men, not yes men. It's not going to be the same as it was before. We can't just be Roman's lackeys. And then Jimmy talks Jay into coming to SmackDown on Friday to talk with Roman Reigns so they could squash all their issues. And Jay agrees. And as they're about to high-five each other, they are interrupted by the Dollar Tree bloodline. And they confront to Tama Tonga and Tagaloa triple team them, and Jacob Fatu puts the chair onto Jay's head in his attempts to do the buckle bomb, similar to what happened to Jimmy 6 months earlier. But as he's about to do it, Jay gets up and throws the chair in his head.
Damn. Listen, you could call the new bloodline the Dollar Tree all you want, but look, you gotta look. The one thing I do liked about this whole situation is, like, I love how Solo Sikoa has changed over the past couple of years. You got to remember, when he first came in, he was like that quiet enforcer, didn't talk as much, silent. And now he's more talkative. He has like more character within him now, and I love it.
Like with the tickets, with the tickets he had.
God,
I got tickets.
That was funny. That's. Oh, man, that's kind of how I felt when I got my WrestleMania tickets, though. But deep down inside, my soul is hurting, which we'll get into later.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little later. But, yeah, so Jimmy and Jay fought off the Dollar Tree bloodline, and that's how the segment ended. But then later on, they were walking backstage, and guess who they ran into?
Sami Zayn.
Yes, the honorary Oos. Yeah. And then Sami asks to talk to Jay alone, and then he gives Jimmy a nasty-ass stare as he says that. And then he goes on to tell Jay, like, yo, you don't need this nonsense. You don't need to involve yourself in this. You already moved on. Don't forget about what they did to you. Don't forget about what they put you through. It's not worth it. And then Jay basically responds and says, you wouldn't understand because you're not family.
Yeah, I told you he was going to get involved. You even called it yourself that Sami Zayn was going to get involved in this. But it's not going to happen at Crown Jewel. It will happen after, leading to the Survivor Series.
Damn right I called that shit. They don't call me the professor for no reason. All right, but anyway, as the night goes on, Jimmy and Jay are talking about that confrontation with Sami, and then Jimmy insists on going to talk to Sami, and he says, like, yo, I'll be cool about it. I'm not going to start any trouble. I just want to talk to him. But then as he finds Sami, he runs into Jay, and then he points at what Sammy's doing to Jay, and then they see Sami Zayn talking to Solo Sikoa.
Yeah. Told you, just like when Solo Sikoa was trying to get Jay to join him, now he's trying to find somebody else, and that's Sami Zayn. And now I feel like later down the road, either it's probably going to be after Crown Jewel, right? Sami Zayn's going to probably have to make a decision on what he wants to do. Either he's going to join Solo Sikoa's bloodline or reunite with Jimmy and Jey Uso and Roman Reigns.
Like, just in defense of Sami Zayn, I wouldn't, you know, get too bent out of shape if I were Jimmy and Jey Uso, because maybe Sami Zayn and Solo Sikoa were talking about the election. Maybe they were talking about those comments that dude made about Puerto Rico at the Trump rally.
Nah.
Maybe they were talking about
we ain't seen
Beyonce.
The BS. Oh,
maybe they were
no.
talking about Beyonce no. being at Kamala Harris's rally.
Oh, no. We ain't seen through the BS, no. Like, real talk, though, Sami Zayn's going to have to make a decision.
I think we know what that decision's going to be.
You know. You know what Solo Sikoa was telling him. He's like, hey, you got to remember what they did to you earlier this year. You got to remember that. You know what I mean? So Sami Zayn's probably thinking about all of that. You know what I mean? So when he makes that decision, that's going to be very interesting to see. And I can't wait for that.
Maybe he was trying to scalp some tickets too.
Oh, shoot.
I'm like, who still carries physical copies of tickets anymore?
Hey, I missed that. Come on, that's bad. Look. They should for real though. Like, me and my dad still have all the tickets from all the games and events that we went to together. And you know,
when you
look back at that with memories. I still have my ticket stub from the first wrestling event I went to for almost 20 years ago. So there, it has that value and that memory that, hey, I remember this. I was there. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, for years I would carry like old ticket stubs from movies I would go to see. So I understand that nostalgia aspect of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're really, you know, building this thing along, going into Survivor Series. And apparently at Crown Jewel, it's been announced there's going to be a 6-man tag featuring Solo, Tama Tonga, and Tagaloa against Roman, Jimmy, and Jay. I don't know if SmackDown was actually taped for this coming Friday. It was already taped this last Friday.
No, I didn't know that. But one thing, I wasn't expecting this. I didn't realize they were going to book that kind of match.
Yeah, because the freaking Crown Jewel card's already loaded up as it is.
Seven matches.
Triple H card, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, that's the most you ever book for a card. Usually it's only 5 matches, though, but I look at the card just now, I was like, wow, 7 matches. That's crazy.
Yeah, for the 9 Big Four PLEs, yeah, this is a lot.
Yeah.
More than likely, I think at least one match is going to get dropped. And speaking of which, let's get into those predictions real fast and get this over with, because obviously WWE seems like they want to get this show over with. So we might as well get our predictions over with too.
Okay, let's start the prediction.
Okay, so let's break down this motherfucking card real fast. It was announced this past Friday after a segment between Randy Orton and Triple H that Randy Orton will face Kevin Owens.
You know what? I wish they would have waited and do this for a Survivor Series instead. I don't know. I see where they're going with it. I like it, but I've said to myself, is it worth having that match on Crown Jewel, or that could they wait and have it at Survivor Series? I don't know. But I don't know, man. I've been sidetracking with this whole situation, because there was a segment that happened on SmackDown, and once again, Randy Orton was caught looking at Cody Rhodes' title, right? So that's, you know, hindsight. We all know that Orton is eventually going to, you know, turn heel, maybe going into 2025. But as of right now, Kevin Owens is the brand new heel right now. So Kevin Owens is, like, you know, feuding with Cody Rhodes right now in the meantime. With that being said, I think I have Kevin Owens winning this match.
Yeah, if I had to take a guess, I would say so too. He just turned heel. He's going to be going against Cody for the championship very soon. If not at Survivor Series, definitely at Saturday night's main event, possibly both. So I see Kevin Owens winning this match, or I could see Kevin Owens beating the hell out of Randy Orton and getting disqualified. But either or, Kevin Owens comes out of this looking like a killer.
Right.
And in all honesty, the best Kevin Owens is heel Kevin Owens, especially if you remember 2016 Kevin Owens. Yo, there was no better version of him than that.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing a version of that in the next few months, or maybe even a better version of that. But either way, he comes out of this looking strong. Okay, but yeah, I will pick Kevin Owens to win. And moving on, we have a triple threat match for the United States title featuring the megastar LA Knight defending his championship against Carmelo Hayes and Andrade.
Hey!
And this match basically came about after this past Friday SmackDown, where it was the Game 7, the 7th match between Carmelo and Andrade from their series they've been having. And LA Knight was the referee, and LA Knight ended up attacking both men, and the match ended up having no winner. So now this match made because of that.
That's funny. I like that. But hey, guess what though?
What?
We finally have a black male superstar on the card.
About time.
So good. I always love Carmelo Hayes from his NXT days. So this is good for him. I'm glad he's in this spot. Always had respect for the guy. Love the guy.
But he's not gonna win.
No, he's not. I'm happy that he's in this position. I'm happy for him. This is good for him. But I have LA Knight retaining his title.
Oh, no doubt about it. He hasn't really done much with the title. He even had a PLE match since he won it at SummerSlam. So I think in this match, he's going to, you know, come out looking strong, and he's going to retain his title. I think the match will still be fun considering all the three men involved. But there is no way LA Knight is losing that title right now.
Right. That is kind of shocking. It just hit me that he hasn't been on a PLE card since he's won the U.S. title back at SummerSlam. That's crazy. That just hit me. Wow.
Yeah, but I do have kind of a concern that maybe if Trump loses the election, instead he'll try to come to WWE and win the United States title as like a consolation prize.
Oh, Lord.
The belt probably wouldn't even fit around his waist at this point. Yeah, because he ate too many French fries during a shift at McDonald's a few weeks ago.
Oh, God.
Yo, these clowns, son. Yo, I've never like been so disinterested, like I said last week, or like just like shaking my head so much at these fucking clowns in my life. Like they're trying so hard to like act like, oh, I'm the good guy. Oh, I care about you. Oh, I'm gonna do this, that, and so if I'm elected president. Bro, I see this from a mile away. I see it from a mile away. Kamala Harris doesn't get a pass either, by the way.
Look, just to be fair, like I think the one thing just annoys me just a little bit is just, I don't know if you've been getting this, but literally every day for like a month, I've been getting text messages and just phone calls about.
Me too.
I don't think that's ever happened to me ever before.
It's happened to me. I mean, I expect it, but yo, I see through all their bullshit from a mile away.
It's annoying. It's kind of like honestly, like I don't feel bullshit. Like I man, I don't even have the energy I want to vote. I don't know. I just want to move on.
I've always maintained I vote mainly out of respect for my ancestors, especially after seeing the movie Selma a few years ago. But I'll be real. Like, if our ancestors could see what this whole process has turned into and the people we have to choose from and how fake and phony most of them are, they would be rolling in their grave. Mm. But that's another story for another time. Let's move on to this card of Crown Jewel. We have a four-way for the women's tag team titles as the female version of the Mega Powers, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, will defend their titles against Damage Control of Kairi Sane and Io Sky, Metaphor of Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson, and Chelsea Green and Piper Niv.
Hmm. I have Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair retaining their titles. It felt like yesterday they just got the titles back. So at this point, I don't know what's the whole point of taking them off again. Should they feud with each other, it'll be going into next year, but now is not now.
Yeah, I don't see them like really feuding with each other and that kicking off until like, you know, towards maybe the end of this year, beginning of next year. And yeah, it's too soon to take the belts off of them. I do like the teams in this match. They are all very impressive. I think this match will be fun, but there's no reason for Bianca and Jade to drop those titles yet.
Right.
So yeah, they retain, but I think this match will definitely deliver. That Lash Legend woman is very impressive.
Really?
Yes, she is. Yeah, she has a great physique. She's good in the ring. Her and Jakara Jackson, I think they're definitely going to be a nice addition to the main roster tag division because they definitely need it.
Okay. I mean, that's something to look forward to. You know what I mean? That's good. But as of right now, I recognize her from NXT. Yeah, her presentation, her character is good. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Yeah.
But I have Bianca and Jade retaining those titles. So let's move on to the rest of the card. We have a champion versus champion match as the women's world champion Liv Morgan will take on the WWE women's champion Nia Jax for the Crown Jewel Women's Championship. Heel versus heel. This is very strange.
It is. Well, I mean, they have done this before with the Survivor Series. Remember that back then when they're doing the Raw versus SmackDown thing where how they have like, it's happened before, but it is a weird scenario. But, you know, this may sound weird what I'm going to say. I think this match will end in no contest because I think nobody's going to win. And I say that because Rhea Ripley is going to interfere.
I could see that. Or maybe Tiffany Stratton could end up costing Nia Jax the match accidentally. And that could lead to more tension between the two of them.
Oh, okay. I like that scenario too. Yeah, definitely. Both could happen. Or, you know, that happened. But yes, Rhea Ripley will make her presence felt, though. That is for certain.
Yeah, this match, I don't know how good it'll be. It's kind of a weird matchup with those two. But I feel like the match outcome and what they do at the end will probably be interesting. So that's mainly what I'm going to be looking out for.
True, true.
So I have Liv Morgan winning. I think Liv Morgan is going to win because of that. Mm-hmm. So moving on. We have Seth freaking Rollins taking on Big Bronson Reed.
Dude, that escalation that they had with each other this last night on Raw.
Last night.
Wow. Did a curb stomp to Bronson Reed. Was it on the hood of the car, right?
He hit him with a Death Valley driver from the truck, from the tractor-trailer truck outside the arena, through two tables down below. And apparently Rollins had to be taken to the hospital because of that. And because of that angle they did and the fact that he had to get taken to the hospital afterwards, I'm having a feeling this match might get cut from the show.
Really?
Yeah, because they already have so many matches already, so maybe this is a way for them to maybe postpone it until Survivor Series. But if the match does end up happening, I think Bronson Reed should win.
Really?
Yes, because I feel like with the way this feud's been going so far and how impressive Bronson Reed's been these last few months, I feel like he should at least get one win over Seth Rollins.
To make him serious.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, Bronson Reed would need that more than Rollins does. Rollins is already a made guy. Hell, Rollins main evented WrestleMania earlier this year with The Rock.
And then you're right. And then, you know, because Rollins wins, right? I mean, what happens after that moving forward? You know what I mean? Unless they continue.
Yeah, for this, the way this feud's going so far, it's like there's no way this is just going to end with one match. They need to stretch this out for a few months. So if they're going to do it that way, then it's no harm in Bronson Reed winning the first match. No harm at all.
Oh, that's a good point. I agree. Okay.
Yeah, so if the match does happen, I think Bronson Reed wins. If the match doesn't happen, they'll save it for Survivor Series and Bronson Reed will win there.
Okay,
so moving on, the matches announced last night, the original bloodline of Roman, Jimmy, and Jay against the Dollar Tree bloodline of Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa. With Jacob Fatu luring around ringside.
No, right. Oh, man, this is just a random match that they just threw in. I wasn't expecting this. Oh, boy.
I don't think they need to have the match on the show, honestly. I feel like it's too much.
This is something that could have waited, you know what I mean? But I just, wow. You know what? I think what you like to call the Dollar Tree bloodline is going to win this match. I think they need to win this match, get some motivation. No, not motivation, but get momentum going into Survivor Series, because we all know how that's going to happen. There's going to be a War Games match between them. So I think it's best for them to get this match, you know, to win this match, get this victory as momentum.
Yeah, I could see that. It makes the most sense, because if they're doing the War Games match of Survivor Series, I don't think Roman and the Usos should win right now. I feel like they should get their ass beat and, like, you know, have to fight from behind till eventually Sami Zayn joins with them, and then Survivor Series will be set.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Sikoa's bloodline wins this match, and they lay all three of them out, and that further builds for War Games.
Yep.
And in the main event, although, like I said, overall, I don't have a lot of interest in this show, I think this match will still be good. We have the champion versus champion for the Males Crown Jewel Championship. We have WWE Champion Cody Rhodes, the World Heavyweight Champion, the Arrogant Prick, Gunther.
Hey. You could call Arrogant Prick, but call him by his real damn name. Have some respect. Okay, the champion. The ring general. Come on now. He'll chop you. Come on, Arrogant Prick. Come on. He has a right to be. Come on now. He's making that belt look so damn good. And we're talking about Gunther, ladies and gentlemen. That's who we're talking about. And this is going to be their first confrontation they had since the Royal Rumble from last year.
Yeah, and that was a great ending, that last few minutes of the Royal Rumble when it was the two of them. Yeah, that was dope. And it's kind of hard to say how this match is going to end. I feel like there's two different scenarios that are going to play out.
I'm already predicting what's going to happen. So we saw what happened at Bad Blood, how Gunther insulted and confronted Goldberg. Right. And then there's a speculation, oh, should Goldberg have another match and all that stuff and whatnot. So I think Cody Rhodes is going to win because of Goldberg. Goldberg is going to interfere in this match and cost Gunther the match.
Well, actually, Goldberg has some Hall of Fame ceremony to attend on Friday afternoon. So I don't know if he'll be able to make it in time. I mean, maybe he could, but it's kind of cutting it close. I mean, that scenario could happen. Or another scenario that could happen is Kevin Owens could cost Cody the match.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Goldberg thing would have been so – that would have been like a perfect way to like, hey, let's pitch this idea. You know what I mean? So they just have, you know, him, you know, Goldberg and Gunther just have that one-off match. You know what I mean? Because it makes it seem as if what happened at Bad Blood was just, oh, it was just whatever. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
Yeah, if they're going to do Goldberg and Gunther, I guess they might as well just do it at Survivor Series and get it over with, as opposed to doing it at Royal Rumble or like another major show. Whatever. If they're going to do it, at least, like, you know, just do it now, get it over with and whatever, and just move on. So if it plays out that way, it's fine. It is what it is. Like I said, we don't even care about this show like that anyway.
No, it's not about us caring about the show, though. I really care about the ending result. You know what I mean? Because like you got to remember what has happened. I'm all about setting your story, doing it right, pacing it, and finishing it the right way.
I guess in that regard, I don't know if Goldberg will be able to make it in time, but by some miracle, maybe he will, and he will cause going through the match, and Cody will be the crown jewel champion, and then we'll never see that title again until next year.
Right. Like I said, look, I don't care. I mean, look, there's certain matches where there's a couple of matches where like, you know what, I care about because I want to see how this is going to transition moving forward after this night, after Saturday. You know what I mean? But overall, I'm just like, meh, it's whatever. Just a one-off. It's just, you know, an event that, eh.
Yeah, so Cody, in that sense, will stand tall at the end, get the fireworks display and all that, be the good guy, be the hero like he always is, which Gunther shitted on him hard for in his promo on SmackDown Friday. Yo, Gunther was coming at him in that promo, bro, talking about how he's a people pleaser and how, like me, I at least know how to say no to the boss and not even care. I do things for myself. You just do it to make other people happy. Yeah, he was letting Cody have it, son.
Hey, man, look, I've noticed lately in Gunther's promos, just this year alone, he's been coming after everybody in his promos. He is just cutthroat, straight to the point, like laying it to you, man.
Yeah, I would hate to serve Gunther at a restaurant. That would not be a fun time.
Oh, my God, you'll serve him the wrong plate. He asks for something, you give him the wrong plate.
No, he will just have an arrogant attitude the whole time. Yes, that is your crown jewel card. This Saturday, 1 p.m. my time, 10 a.m. your time. I will still watch it, even though I don't really expect it to be like a mind-blowing show. I'm sure it will still have its moments, and those good moments are still worth talking about, too.
True. I'm gonna watch it, and so I'm looking forward to it. I'm just looking forward to the ending results and how they're going to transition their stories going into the Survivor Series later next month.
Yeah, Survivor Series is definitely that show to watch. I think it'll definitely be fun. But one thing that I also found interesting was the top 20 list of WWE superstars of all time from Sports Illustrated. And I know I sent that list to you the other day. Let me break it down for you guys real fast. Number 20, we have Becky Lynch, actually the only female on the list, surprisingly. But Becky Lynch, number 20. Number 19, Mick Foley, the homie Mick Foley, who talked shit about Trump last week in that video. I'm sure you saw.
No, I did not saw that. Just
no more politics.
Just stay away from politics. I think,
Okay, no more politics for the rest of the show. Yeah.
Right.
All right, number 18, Chris Jericho. Number 17, CM Punk.
Okay.
Number 16, Andre the Giant.
Mm-hmm.
Number 15, Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Number 14, Edge.
Hmm.
Number 13, Roddy Piper.
Okay.
Number 12, Kurt Angle.
Okay.
Number 11, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Okay.
Number 10, Bruno Sammartino.
Okay.
Number 9, Bret the Hitman Hart, the GOAT.
Okay.
Number 8, his inferior Shawn Michaels.
Yes, the GOAT, my GOAT.
Number 7, Triple H.
Okay.
Number 6, The Undertaker.
Mm.
Number 5, Roman Reigns.
Wow. 5.
Number 4. Wow. Yeah, 5. Yeah, 5. For that last reign he had for those 4 years, I don't have any problem with that. Number 4, John Cena.
Okay.
Number three, The Rock.
Okay.
Number two, Hulk Hogan.
I knew it.
And number one, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes, my second favorite wrestler, and that honestly, that was the right choice.
Yeah, I can't argue that at all. Yeah, that list overall, I think, right was pretty spot on. Yeah, overall, I think that list.
I really love that they put Chris Jericho on that list. He deserves that. I'm happy that he put him on the list.
He's the one who made putting people on the list famous, so he better get put on the list.
I know. That's one of the reasons why I love that guy. I've told you that, man. Oh, God. You know, it's so funny. I used to say that sometimes, like years ago, how like, oh, you know, I'll play around with people. They, you know, they do something stupid. I was like, you just made the list or whatever. And I still thought that was the funniest thing ever. Yeah. But yeah, I like the list. I like it. The whole lineup. Austin definitely is number one. You're talking about wrestler, you talk about character and impact on a company and all that stuff, all the above, it's Austin.
And just a draw, bro. He was the face of their biggest boom period ever.
Yeah. You're talking about money, merchandise, all that, it's Austin. It's funny because I remember I shared a Facebook post and somebody said, oh, Austin or The Rock? I easily said Austin. And some people picked The Rock and it's like, and it was no offense to The Rock. I love The Rock. I do. I love The Rock. I do. But you got to remember Austin. And we always ask ourselves if Austin never got hurt, if he was there in 2000, man, what would the Rock would have been like? You know what I mean? Wow.
Austin's a bigger star, like as far as like wrestling fans, like hardcore wrestling fans go. But The Rock is a bigger star, like overall, like he's a bigger mainstream star.
When it comes like mainstream, yeah, of course.
The Rock just fit in, like even during like the Attitude Era, The Rock just fit in more with like, you know, those talk show appearances and when he would be on TV shows and be on SNL. He fit in more in that crowd than Austin did.
Yeah, he kind of stand out on his own when it came to that. He was more like transitional, easier with that outlook. You know what I mean? Which is okay. And look, Austin made guest appearances too. I mean, Austin was at the MTV Music Awards. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So yeah, 99 was there.
Austin had his share of doing the same thing. You know, he was on an episode of Nash Bridges one time and commercials here and there. That's different though. But The Rock, it was completely different for The Rock. You know what I mean? So both had their share, though. But if you want to say what was, you know, who did a little more better, it was The Rock. You know what I mean? So.
And Hogan, look, we're not really fans of him as much anymore, granted. But during that 80s period, people have even said it, like who lived in that era. He was literally one of the most famous people in the world.
Exactly. You didn't even have to watch wrestling. It's kind of similar to, you know, with Austin and The Rock. You didn't have to be a wrestling fan to know who they are. I could just go to some random person and I could say Hulk Hogan or Austin. You're going to know who I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. But they don't watch wrestling because they know who they are.
Hogan was the face of that boom period in the 80s, like that first real boom period they had. And he did that shit for a long time. Because when you think of Austin and Rock, they were only on top for what, like 3-4 years total?
Yeah.
But Hogan, he was that face for almost a decade.
Yep.
Yeah, so say what you want about him, but yo, he was that dude for those years. He was that dude.
Yeah, and also I'm happy they put CM Punk on that list as well.
Yeah, definitely, Also, really John Cena is definitely worthy of being number four. I mean, look. Look, we weren't crazy about that era that he was the face of. Without John Cena during those years, WWE would have been in a much worse spot than they were.
I mean, when we talk about that era, we're talking about like that PG era, though. But yeah.
After 2008. Hell, even in 2005, 2006, he was like really a big part of like why they were more successful than they were before. Like during those years, he was also hot, but especially in those PG years, without John Cena during those years, they would have been even worse off than they were.
I know. I kind of, you know, I look at his popularity similar to Hogan and, you know, Rock and Austin. You know what I mean? It's like everybody knows who John Cena is. You know what I mean? So it's a person that I think out of all the wrestlers, it's that one wrestler I feel like we all took for granted a little bit, just a little.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when he was gone, it's just like, damn, you know what I mean? He's gone, you know? But yeah, he definitely deserves that list. Roman Reigns, because due to the fact that it's one of those guys where early in his career, it was like, whatever, felt like, okay, he's being shoved down our throats. And then what has happened with him over the past 4 years, that's what really put him on the top. That's what put him on the list. We're not going to forget about the fact that, yeah, he held that title for such a long time, but it was the character himself what made him big. That tribal chief character was like that. That was like the biggest character development or just character change I've ever seen in the history of wrestling. I look back at his stuff, you know, early on, I kind of like some of that stuff, I cringe at a little bit. I was like, man, I can't believe Roman was like this, man. Oh man. I look back at that stuff and I was like, man, but I look at him now, so much growth.
Yeah, definitely. And he was the face of like this new boom period that WWE's been going through ever since, I would say, 2021, like after the pandemic ended. Yeah, that whole character work he's done ever since then, how he turned his whole presentation around with the whole Bloodline stable and the wise man stuff and the acknowledge me shit. That whole transformation pretty much solidified his legacy as one of the GOATs. I mean, he had a good run before then. Like, he was having great matches and all that, but the presentation was shit. But then once they switched up the presentation and he became that character, that solidified his whole legacy. He definitely belongs in that top five off of that reign. No debate about it.
And he's become very popular now. You know, it's funny that you say that. This past Saturday, because I was with my girlfriend Samantha and her cousin and her wife and her kid, right? So we're at a pumpkin patch. It was like, you know, like just for kids, right? I saw a kid dress up as Roman Reigns for Halloween.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. I actually saw somebody at the gym the other day wearing a Head of the Table t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was walking around and I see this kid, like, he had like from a distance, he had like a fake mustache. And I was kind of like, who is he supposed to be? But when I was walking up closer, right, he even had like the actual like replica Universal title belt. And I was looking at, I saw his shirt. I was like, oh, that's Roman Reigns. And he's wearing the Jordans too. I was like, oh, that's so dope. I was like, babe, look, he's Roman Reigns. And all that. I thought that was so dope.
Did you acknowledge him?
Oh, no, I should have. Nah. No, I should have went up to him and told him, hey, nice costume. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, it's a good look. But yeah, Brett Sean definitely deserved to be on that list. They carried the company during those years where, like, you know, business wasn't good and there was uncertainty about whether or not the company would even survive. So they both definitely deserve to be on that list, especially for the quality matches they were having. Bruno Sammartino goes without saying. The Undertaker, for his longevity. Yeah. He's definitely one of the most successful characters they ever came up with.
Honestly, he is... In my opinion, he is the best character of all of wrestling. By far the best. It's like you've seen certain, like when you see certain characters, you're kind of like, you don't know whether or not it's going to work or it's going to last. But that is the one character that lasted and was very successful at it. And not only that, Undertaker, Mark Calloway, learned how to transform his character throughout the years of his career successfully.
Yeah, he definitely had that longevity. He switched it up with the whole American Badass stuff and then going back to the Dead Man stuff and having the best matches of his career when he came back to the Dead Man stuff, like in that mid to late 2000s period.
Yeah.
And not to mention the streak. That streak will never be topped, bro.
Never. And, you know, it was the one thing you mentioned about Bruno Sammartino. That's good. I love how they show that respect. Because you got to remember, before Austin Rock, Hogan, you got to remember, before, you know, the wrestling company was, you know, popular as it is now, you got to remember, you got to go back. You got to go back how there were wrestlers that were successful. And Bruno Sammartino was one of them. He was one of the longest reigning champions ever. And in his craftsmanship, his ring work, what made him successful as it is. Got to respect the guys who came before the company became mainstream. You had guys who were just really, you know, not saying, you know, not trying to diss everybody else though, but you got had those nitty and gritty blue collar work ethic wrestlers who were just, Ford Company and just, you know, tough as nails. And Bruno Sammartino is one of them.
Yeah, he was a legend. He held that championship for 8 years. And then in his second reign, held it for another 3 years. I know it was a different era, but regardless, mm-hmm. he held that torch for as long as he did. And he was selling out the Garden every month. Mm. Yeah, my parents remembered him. My grandparents remembered him. They would always talk to me about him because I was always a wrestling fan growing up. So, yeah, they would always mention the name Bruno Sammartino to me, and I can see why.
Mm. Yep.
All right, so yeah, so I will say I agree with this list. I didn't really have any complaints with it. So shout out to Sports Illustrated for getting a list right when, and many times these lists are very, very cringeworthy, to say the least.
I always love Sports Illustrated, you know what I mean? So they did a good job with this list. I respect that, so that's good.
But one thing I have not been a fan of recently is these damn prices for WrestleMania tickets that I saw. Oh. When I tried to go buy some tickets on Friday, I saw that the tickets I wanted to buy were going to be like $1,500 total. So unfortunately, I was not able to get my ticket yet. So I'm going to have to wait a little while. Because, yeah, this shit is wild, bro.
No. Don't say it. My heart hurts every time I hear him. Oh. It felt like I had to sell my soul to get those tickets. Oh, looking back at it, I should have waited. Oh, my God. Just every time I think about it, just it hurts me. Why? Why do they have to charge so much, man? I mean, we said this before we went on the air. I don't know if it's because of the fact that since the merger, when they did the WWE-TKO merger, you got to remember, TKO is affiliated with UFC, and UFC events are damn expensive. I would never go to a UFC event, okay? Probably because of the fact that they're in Vegas. Now, you got to remember, a lot of these sporting events in Vegas, whether if you're going to a Golden Knights game or if you're going to a Raiders game, they're pretty damn pricey because of the fact you're in Vegas, which is stupid. I can imagine. You know what I mean? Or it could be the fact that, hey, business has been booming. This is the biggest... The business has been so big. I haven't seen it like this big since like the Attitude Era. You know what I mean? So it could be a combination of all of them. It could be all of the above. But regardless, though, man, the ticket prices for this WrestleMania coming up, it's ridiculous, man. And look, we don't really care too much about Vince Russo, but Vince Russo came out and said, like, hey, we had to tell his son, like, hey, we need to eat. And it's kind of disappointing that how much they're charging these prices for this event, because like this is like an event for, you know, if you have a family, hey, you want to take your kid out to see this, you know what I mean? Especially if your kid is a wrestling fan, but you can't do that because of the prices. And it's a bit ridiculous. I get it. It's WrestleMania. It's the Super Bowl and all that stuff of professional wrestling. But man, I'm scared to tell you how much I paid, and I'm not just going by myself. My girlfriend wants to go too. So I got my ticket for me and her. And even though I'm doing a payment plan, the fact that I got it's absolutely ridiculous. I only paid when me and my brother went to WrestleMania 39 in LA about a year and a half ago. For those both nights together, I only paid $250.
Madness, bro.
That's nothing compared to how much my tickets were for this upcoming year. Even though if I waited, it's absolutely ridiculous how much they are, man. It's like I said, my soul hurts right now. I feel like Thanos in Avengers. Like, oh, you know, after he did what he did at the end of the movie, he was like, they asked him, was like, hey, like, was it worth it? You know what I mean? That's how I feel. Like, I ask myself, was it worth it? I'm like, it better be worth it. I'm telling you right now, The Rock better be there. No excuses. What I'm paying right now, The Rock better be there. No excuses. And I better see, like, I better see something similar or close to what happened at WrestleMania earlier this year. If I'm paying this much, no excuses.
Well, at least we know it's not going to be WrestleMania 9 bad, so that's one thing to be thankful for.
Oh, no. Oh, God, no. Oh, hell no. I'm curious what those ticket prices were at Caesar's Palace back in 93. I'm going to do my journalism work and look that up.
Yeah, bro. It's just a thing where, like, you know, Ticketmaster's been getting a lot of shit for doing this the last few years. I remember with the Beyonce tour and the Taylor Swift tour, they were, like, getting under fire for, you know, charging ridiculous prices. And now with WrestleMania, it's kind of the similar vibe where, like, they gave Ticketmaster permission and all these other ticket companies permission to, like, up the charges and up the extra fees. So they can take advantage of you if they're able to.
Hate that. Ticketmaster's the devil.
And if there are people that are willing to pay those prices, they're not going to stop charging those prices.
It's similar to the Super Bowl. Now, looking back at it, I should have waited for one. Number two, I should have did what I did a year and a half ago because I got my tickets from StubHub. They're a little bit cheaper than Ticketmaster. That's what I should have did. You know what I mean? So regardless.
The way it's looking now, I'm probably just going to go to Saturday night's main event just in case. Because I was saving everything for WrestleMania, but with all this going on, maybe Saturday night's main event wouldn't be such a bad idea, at least for now, and I'll go to that show. And fingers crossed, WrestleMania will happen, and the ticket prices will be maybe a little lower in the coming weeks and months. But as of right now, I'm not getting my ticket.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I mean, because since I got these tickets now, it's like I'm like before the tickets went on sale, a part of me was taking the consideration of should I go to the Raw after WrestleMania because I've never been to one. You know what I mean? So I was like kind of thinking about it, but now. No, I'm not going. No.
Yeah, literally buying tickets to this show is like paying a month's rent, or hell, 2 months rent for some people.
I mean, you could do payment plans. Thank God.
But still, regardless, it's still.
Still, though, it's money. Like I'm paying, dude, it's like the amount that I'm paying a month for a long time, it's madness, man.
And not macho madness either.
Yeah. I was about to say that. Yeah, man.
Yeah, this is a far cry from the $150 I paid to go to WrestleMania 28.
Big difference.
I had good seats, too. I was like in the middle 100 section. Oh. Yeah, it was perfect. Oh. But yeah, for this bullshit.
Man.
Yeah, like $900, like $1,000. $1,000 for the freaking nosebleed seats.
My soul hurts right now. All I know, it better be worth it for these two nights.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think WrestleMania will still deliver.
You know, another thing is ridiculous. I don't know if you noticed this. Whenever you get your tickets for WrestleMania, do you have the option where you could get the collector's chair?
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, I don't know.
$600. $600.
Fuck out of my face.
No.
$600 for a damn chair? Fuck out of my face.
No. No. There is no way in hell, dude. $600 for a chair.
Dude. It better come with like a wrestler's autograph or something if it's going to be that much money.
$600. No.
Fuck out of here. Oh. Yeah, but that's corporate America for you sometimes. If they can charge the average person more money and certain people are willing to pay for it, they do not care.
And sometimes I ask myself, like, you know, for the Super Bowl, it's like, man, how do like people like manage to like pay all that money for the Super Bowl? I'm happy that they go, but it's like, wow. I mean, even my girlfriend a long time ago asked me, hey, if the Chargers ever went to the Super Bowl, would you go? I'm like, no. Do you know how? No. Do you know how much? Okay, for the Super Bowl earlier this year that happened in Vegas, right? Guess what was the average price?
$2,000.
What do you say?
$2,000.
Kurt, no. $2,000 I probably would have went if the Chargers were in. No. No. You're way off.
$5,000.
No.
$10,000?
You said 10?
Yeah, I said 10.
That was when they're in LA, but yeah, but I think for this one, it was like starters was 8,000.
Get the fuck out of here. $8,000, the cheapest ticket for the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Bro, these people are insane.
Guess how much it was 30 years ago?
$300?
A little lower. We're talking about around like close to 200, around 150, close to 200, something like that.
This damn inflation shit is crazy, and people swear that their presidential candidates and the ones they like are going to save them from all this. Well, I promise it's the last thing I'm going to mention about politics, but yeah, they swear that with all these prices going up, that Kamala Harris or Donald Trump is going to save them and make it all better. You're better off believing in Santa Claus.
Told you, man.
All right, but that's another story. Yeah, like I said, I want to go to WrestleMania. I still intend to go to WrestleMania. I'm just not going to buy my ticket right now. But if for whatever reason I end up not going, it's not the end of the world.
I'm fingers crossed that you go. I'm mad. I really want to go. Come back to Vegas. You know what I mean? But like the thought of it, I know. But we weren't expecting this to happen. Look, before the prices went on sale, I was assuming. I don't like to assume, but like the top of my head, I thought for starters, the prices will be like, I don't know, 300, I don't know, 200. You know what I mean? That's what I thought it would be. When I saw the prices, and I got my tickets during pre-sale, right? When I saw the price, I was like, no, it can't be that much. And I've been to Allegiant Stadium. No.
Mm-mm. Look, I really want to go bad. Mm-mm. It's been 8 years since I've been to one. I've been dying to go to a WrestleMania ever since then. But this is pushing it. This is really pushing it.
Really pushing it.
Look, I could even buy my ticket. Look, I could probably buy my ticket right now if I wanted to pay the full price, and I would still have money left over. But
really?
That's not a buy.
Really? Okay.
I have enough money where I can buy a ticket like right now if I wanted to, and I would still have money left in my bank account. But realistically, that's not a wise purchase.
No.
Yeah. Right now, I can't justify paying full price for that kind of ticket.
Yeah, I should have waited, man. I don't know. I wasn't thinking because, like, for one, I look back to earlier this year. I was looking for tickets for Philly, right, earlier this year. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it sold out. Nah, it didn't really sold out. There were still tickets available. There was always tickets available, you know what I mean? So I don't know why, hindsight, I was thinking that it's going to sell out fast and it will never be available. No, it's still available. I don't fall for that BS, but I should have waited.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to sell out like, you know, next week or anything like that. So that's why I'm saying I'm going to wait a little longer. Possibly maybe ticket prices will drop in the next few weeks, next few months, and then I'll get my ticket.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same issue like a year and a half ago. They were claiming, oh, SoFi Stadium sold out. But literally like a week before the event, there were still some tickets available. So,
You know what's funny? They do this. I've been hearing now they like do this. They like rack the prices up so high so they can say that, oh, this was the highest gate for any WrestleMania, any SummerSlam, any Money in the Bank. That's the reason why it's the highest gate, because they're charging so much damn money.
Look, I said this before. I said this before we went on air, and just because of, you know, this whole situation hurts me so bad. This most likely will probably be my last WrestleMania I'm going to attend. Like, my life is different now. You know, I'm in a relationship, and, you know, me and my girl are trying to, you know, look for a bigger place, you know, later on. And I got to refocus on, you know, more important things. So this is going to be like the last, like, if this is how the way is going to be in the future, where your starting prices for this event is going to be that expensive, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, at least I have SummerSlam next year in Jersey. So worst case scenario, I can always still go to that.
Yeah. I mean, look, man, I'm hoping that you come out here, man, because you haven't been to Vegas in a long time. But
no, even if God forbid I don't go to WrestleMania, I'm still going to come to Vegas to visit. That's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Yeah, WrestleMania is still 5.5 months away. A lot can change from now till then. Hopefully prices aren't that ridiculously expensive in the next few months, and then I can get a ticket. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So did you see what Samantha Irvin's been saying to these fans online the last few days? These like asshole fans who've been trying to come at her about leaving WWE, like talking shit about Ricochet, talking shit about her, talking about how she's a sellout and how she's ungrateful and all this other dumb shit.
No, I did not hear about that nonsense. All I heard about the reason why she left, that's more important.
Responding to one of these dumb fucks, she basically said that she never really liked announcing like that. She only did the announcing in WWE to use it, like, you know, as her way in to eventually become a manager or a GM role or something along those lines. But WWE, for whatever reason, just only saw her in that role. So that's why she made the choice to part ways.
Okay, I mean, look, and... Hey, I mean, she wanted that, but obviously she didn't get that. Hey, she did a damn good job as a ring announcer, but hey, that's not really in her heart, not what she wanted, and she wanted to leave, and that's okay. But for, you know, for certain fans, you know, calling her out and calling her a sellout, like, you're in no position to be saying that. You're not getting paid money to say that or earning the money that she was making. Or whatever. You couldn't even probably do good as a job as her if you were in her position to say that. So it is stupid and ignorant thing to say.
Or if they were in a position to walk away from the job when they have enough money to walk away from the job and they could just chill at home and be with their families or do whatever they want to do, tell me they wouldn't take it either.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So,
look, like I said last week, she's the best ring announcer since Howard Finkel. I already miss her presence on the show. It's definitely a huge loss, but it's her life. And if she's not happy being an announcer, if she's not happy doing that job, she should not stay in that job just for my sake, your sake, or anybody else's sake.
Yep. This is very similar to when Brock Lesnar left the company 20 years ago.
And he left on much worse terms than Samantha Irvin, but go on.
Yeah, but I mean, he had a reason why he wanted to leave. It is the work, the scheduling was too much for him.
You know, at the end of the day, we'll miss these people if they leave, but at the end of the day, they're not under any obligation to stay in positions that they don't like and they're not happy in just because, oh, the person online is going to talk shit about me, or, oh, the person online is going to call me names. Yo, these people need to calm the fuck down. These people were even trying to say that, like, oh, I blame your midget husband for this. Your vanilla midget husband ruined everything. Now you're going to perform in front of half-empty arenas in AEW. And I love the way she responded to this dude where she said, I'm so happy I don't have a boss anymore so I could say this. Shut the fuck up. Good. I'm glad she said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that definitely opens up our eyes to the real reason why she left. And for somebody who did not like their job very much and wasn't that happy doing it, she was damn good at it. You would have never guessed. But I'm just happy that, you know, she's doing what she wants, and whether that's, you know, staying at home with her daughter, because I told you last week she does have a daughter, or if she wants to pursue her singing career, whatever it may be, whatever makes her happy, she should do that.
I agree.
Regardless of what any other dumb fucks online have to say, because, that shit they've been saying online is embarrassing.
I mean, regardless of whether they're saying anything or not, I mean, she has a right to leave. You know what I mean? If it's going to make her happy, you know what I mean? You always got to put in any job, you got to put your mental health first before anything else. That's the whole bottom line.
Yeah. So I look forward to seeing whatever she does next. And who knows, maybe she'll be back in WWE in a few years and maybe they'll let her be the character, like do the parts that she initially wanted to do.
Yeah, you may never know. Anything can happen.
Because she just said she's an artist. She's a performer. She's creative. And she wanted to, dap into more of those areas. But just WWE didn't see it that way. The same thing actually happened to Brandi Rhodes. Brandi Rhodes actually said this a few years ago, that she wanted to do more than just ring announcing, but they just only saw her as a ring announcer.
Right. Okay.
She was good at it. Don't get me wrong. She was really good at it, but she wanted to do more, and her and also Cody at the time, they didn't want to let them do more than they were capable of. Mm-hmm. Best of wishes to Samantha Irvin once again, and to you dumb fucks online messing with her, get a damn life. Get out of your mama's basement. And stop eating that microwave mac and cheese. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, but sometimes it's like that, man. Some people who like really don't like their job and are not happy at their job, from how good they do it, you would never guess it.
Right. That's any job.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Did you hear this shit that Hulk Hogan said the other day about how Cher and Madonna wanted to hook up with him back in the day, but he didn't do it because he was married at the time?
No.
Yeah, he said that the other day. And look, I know Hogan's full of shit, and the bullshit alarm always goes off in my head every time I hear Hogan speak. But like we said a few minutes ago, back in the 80s, he was literally one of the most famous people in the world. And considering that, and also he was a big muscular guy too, I don't find it that hard to believe, personally.
No. No.
I could see maybe Cyndi Lauper wanting to get with him, because I remember Cyndi Lauper brought him to the Grammys back in 85.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like around the time of WrestleMania 1, the month before WrestleMania 1, Cyndi Lauper brought Hogan to the Grammys as her date. I don't know what kind of Hulkamania was running wild after the Grammys, but that's their business.
Look, I think any kind of party story from the 80s doesn't end well.
I guess it depends on who you were.
Can't imagine, you know, Coke was involved, so...
Yep. Yeah, I can imagine Hogan on Coke. Well, he was probably on Coke for most of his promos he was doing back then, but still.
Pretty much every wrestler was on Coke during that time.
Yeah, you definitely get that vibe. Listen, our best wishes and condolences to Ric Flair as his stepson committed suicide the other day.
Yeah, I heard that, man. How old was he?
I believe he was like in his like mid-20s around that area. Yeah, that sucks, man, because I remember his son died of an overdose like back in 2013, and now his stepson's dying. Yeah, it sucks, man. I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, like you're about to say, man, you know, people have dealt with that. I mean, you know, my girlfriend's brother, you know, suicide. Suicide is a very serious thing. Our, like I said, our mental health comes first before anything else. So to hear that, that is a sad thing, man. And whenever you're going through something, take the time. There is help out there. Talk to people. There are people that want to help. So you're not alone in all of this. So to hear that, that is a sad thing, man. My condolences to Ric Flair and his entire family.
Yeah, he was a musician, apparently. And really? It's a messed up scenario. I hate to ever hear this about anybody. I remember when Chester Bennington killed himself a few years ago. That really hit me hard. And especially when I go back and listen to a lot of like Linkin Park's music and like the emotion he put into it. And now I can definitely tell there was like some shit going on internally with him.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Linkin Park, because in April there's going to be a rock and roll festival here in Vegas, and Linkin Park is on that lineup. And then when I posted it, one of my friends said it's not the same without Chester. I was like, I know. It oh man. And my girlfriend's a huge Linkin Park fan, and one of her regrets, she wish she would have saw them perform before Chester passed away. So yeah.
Sad situation. Condolences to Ric Flair. Also Wendy, his soon to be ex-wife. That's her son. Yeah, horrible news, man. Yeah, hate to ever hear this about anyone.
Man.
Also, Mercedes Moné recently opened up about her Mount Rushmore of opponents she's had throughout her career. And her Mount Rushmore goes like this. It's Bailey number one, Charlotte number two, Willow Nightingale number three, and Bianca Belair number four.
Okay, that's a good list.
Great list. Makes perfect sense.
Great list, yeah.
Those are by far her best opponents.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't leave out Charlotte Flair now. Yeah, that's good. I like that list. It's a good list.
Obviously, Bailey, the classics they've had together.
Yeah, and NXT, yeah.
And Willow Nightingale right now, especially her and Willow Nightingale, they're the polar opposites character-wise. Like, Willow Nightingale is, like, very likable and very pleasant, and Mercedes Moné as a character, at least, is the complete opposite of that. So that's why I feel like they mesh so well together on screen. It's a perfect matchup. Kind of like Sting and Ric Flair back in the day. Also, Ricky Steamboat, too. And obviously, Bianca, that great match they had at WrestleMania 37 a few years ago that made history. It's just too bad we didn't get that many more matches together with them.
It was supposed to happen at SummerSlam later that year. Remember that? I was looking forward to that, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's still a mystery. I don't know what the hell happened in that case, but that's not
She never even brought up the reason behind that, did she?
Neither one of them did. Neither one of them ever said why.
Wow. That was 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was, but it is what it is. We still got that great match at WrestleMania that year, and hopefully maybe we can get another match between them in the future one day.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah, but this episode actually is a very special one, as this episode this week marks our 5-year anniversary of when we first started doing this show.
crazy. And yeah, wow. We've changed a lot. We went from recording this on our phone to doing this. Now we have our Instagram, Twitter. You can follow us on our social media platforms. We're on available on YouTube, Spotify, Speaker. A lot is changing. And we just want to evolve and get more attention and get enough audience to recognize us. So a lot has changed within the 5 years. Crazy.
And it's been a blast, bro. Just talking with you about wrestling and creating like a media personality presence for ourselves through doing this show and just learning more about wrestling and just learning more about, you know, being personalities and being podcasters as a whole. Yeah, it's been great. Honestly, since I've graduated college, this has been one of the best things I've done as far as media work.
Same. And I've been putting like, you know, more energy and effort into this, like, you know, we're trying to find like, you know, a theme song and all that. And even I wanted to save this best for last. Kurt, I've mentioned this to you before you went on the air, so I'm going to mention it to all of our audience. So moving forward, so we want to start every month. We're going to start having like, we have our prediction shows, our recap shows, and our weekly, you know, shows to keep you guys updated about what's going on. But I also want to start doing I like to call a back in time segment, as me and you, Kurt, we're going to go into our wrestling DeLorean and we're going to travel back in time and we're going to relive and revisit, you know, classic wrestling events from the past.
I cannot wait. And we're also going to revisit doing that. Different events that happened during that period, like popular movies that were out, you know, popular news stories that were going on, popular albums that were out, whatever else was going on in the world. We're going to break all that down for you, kind of going to be like a time machine in a sense. And yes, I'm looking forward to adding that to this show. And I can't wait for you guys to experience it, because I know you guys are going to love it.
I'm definitely going to love it too. I mean, if you remember, Kurt, you know, early in our podcast sessions, we used to do the anniversary little segments towards the end.
Do you know what today is? It's our anniversary. Anniversary.
Yeah, I remember that.
That shit was clutch.
Yeah, I remember that. So I want to continue that and just like a little separate segment episode where, hey, it's the anniversary of this event. Let's review this. So I don't know which one do you want to do for next month, since it's Survivor Series month. We may do Survivor Series 89, or you mentioned 96. I'm down for whatever, but I'm happy to.
I think you're like 89. I think you're like 89 because the day before Back to the Future 2 came out.
Ah, that's funny. Okay. So there is that. That's the vote. We'll do Survivor Series 89 starting next month. And I think moving forward, I'll give the audience on Instagram or Twitter, like, hey, a rundown of a selection of, you know, what should we do? And I'll give the fans the vote, you know, what event to cover. So we'll do that.
Yeah, it sounds good to me. And it's so crazy. I've lived in 3 different states ever since we started doing this show.
Crazy.
I lived in Vegas. I lived in Atlanta. Now I live in Jersey.
Wow.
Madness. Yeah, crazy how our lives change and the time we do shows like this and do things like this in general. But I like seeing how much we've progressed, how much we've grown, and the fact that we've stuck with it. Because that's the thing with a lot of podcasters and a lot of shows like this. People do not stick with it. They'll do a few episodes here and there, and then they'll just stop.
Yeah. And it's funny because lately, I remember like during the first like couple of years of our podcast, I noticed that I had a couple of friends that would come up to me for advice. I'm like, hey, you know, how could I come up with a name, and you know, what should I do to do this and do that? So, because they see what we're doing, you know what I mean? So the fact that they're coming up to me, that means a lot to me. So
yeah, and it's and also in the sense, like, if you're like somebody who's just come out of college and you have a hard time finding a job, and if you want like a certain position and you know it's not, you know, working out for you that way, you can rely on other people to, you know, give you that position, or you can create that position for yourself. Like, for instance, instead of somebody making you a good podcaster or making you a podcast personality, you can make yourself a podcast personality.
True.
It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take work, take consistency. But if you stick with it and continue to stick with it, good things will happen. And I plan on sticking with this show as long as I live.
Same here.
Or until I get married and I'm like unable, like for whatever reason, to do a show in that sense. But as long as I can, as long as I'm able to, I'm doing Clash of Champions with my boy.
Same here, man. I'm proud to do it with you.
One of my favorite ways to spend the week, honestly. This is one of the highlights of my week.
Gotcha, man.
And also look out for your boy Conscious Kurt, as starting this week, I'm going to be writing weekly Raw reviews for PW Torch. So check out for that.
Good job.
And also I'll be writing articles for this wrestling history website in the coming weeks. I'm going to be posting an article on there soon about the top 10 WWE moments in the year 1990. So also look out for that article too. You will really like it a lot, especially if you were around during that time. Hell, I was only 4 years old during that period, and I had a good insight of everything that happened.
Wow. All right, man. You heard that, ladies and gentlemen. Check that out. And next time you'll be hearing us, it will be after Crown Jewel. So you'll hear our recap episode from Crown Jewel and more wrestling news to come.
Probably by the time we talk to you guys next time, we will have a new president, whoever that may be. But like I've said before, and I'll say again, I know John Randall agrees with me on that. This whole thing is just a joke clown show. And just like Crown Jewel, I can't wait for it to be over with.
Exactly. Just like I said, I'm just interested in what's going to happen transitioning after this event going into Survivor Series. So I can't wait for that. So in the meantime, John Randall, my tag team partner, Kurt Cadet, stay safe, stay blessed, and always be cool.
And remember, most of all, don't be an asshole in real life or social media, because that shit is for the birds. Happy Halloween week two.
Yeah, happy Halloween, ladies and gentlemen. Stay safe, please.
About to go watch Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's funny.